Prologue. One Possible Future. Monday, July 17th, 2006. Mark Thompson gripped the wheel of the Crown Vic, fighting to restrain himself from flinging open the door and sprinting into the crime scene. The driver's side door was a shield against what awaited him in the park. He had never felt this kind of dread in his 20 years as a sheriff's deputy. While the radio traffic at the scene was nonspecific, he heard enough over the police radio back in his office to glean most of the vital details. A young female victim with no identification, same as the other two. No one at the sheriff's department said anything directly to him about the find, even though they knew he was leading the investigation. They were trying to keep the victim's identity a secret. His late model Crown Vic was parked behind the white coroner's van. He stared sightless through the windshield at the back of the Econoline tucked in the shade of a gnarled maple tree. It made his stomach turn. His breakfast became a lead brick weighing in his guts. The open cargo doors of the van revealed that the gurney was nowhere to be seen. Two Killian County Sheriff's Department cruisers were parked on the grass along each side of the coroner's van, their light bars alternately flashing blue and red. Several vehicles representing both the Illinois State and Harris Police Departments guarded strategic points around Courthouse Square, blocking out any stray foot and automobile traffic from wandering into the scene. A thin yellow band of plastic tape encircled the park while troopers and deputies stood guard near the borders to keep out stragglers and errant members of the press. Though the spectacle was engineered to warn the public to stay away, they were instead drawn with macabre fascination to view travelers' latest display. Shopkeepers from further up Main Street, joggers and other onlookers attempted to snap pictures or jockey for a better look, perhaps to tell their friends they were there to have the best possible view when the body was wheeled out of the park. In the narrow spaces between the vehicles parked profanely on the park lawn, the shaded forms of the investigative team milled about at the east end of the half-circle of city block that was Veterans Memorial Park. The northeast corner of the park was set up for a series of summer plays. The temporary wooden set stood just beneath a pair of shady maples. About 100 feet away, rising above the trees in the center of the park, stood a gray stone statue of a winged angel of peace, her torch held high above her head in one hand and a dove supported in the other. She stood on her stone and glass pedestal, her back turned, oblivious to the goings-on below as she stared out over the expensive homes that lined Park Avenue. Mark envied her ignorance. He took several deep, calming breaths before reaching for the car door. Dreading what was on the other side of the park, he stepped out of the vehicle and onto the hard pavement. It was an effort just to stand up straight. 3 bodies in 2 weeks. A record for an area that hadn't seen murder since late 1967. The killer worked with speed, precision, and guile, snatching his victims only hours before they were found raped, murdered, and posed for public display around town. There were no witnesses to his work, no leads to his identity except a single-page printed letter identifying himself as the traveler. His last victim died only 4 hours before she was found sitting at a picnic table in Whitfield Park on the north end of town, posed as if sleeping with her head resting on her arms. She was the 17-year-old daughter of Mark's ex-girlfriend. In fact, Mark knew both of the previous victims. They were friends of his daughter's. But in a small town the size of Harris, this was not an unusual thing. As little girls, they were all in the same Girl Scout troop and attended each other's birthday parties and sleepovers. It was a fact of life in a place like this that everyone knew everyone else. It was unavoidable. Mark stepped up onto the sidewalk, and as if on cue, the short, plump figure of Hannah Tremblay, deputy coroner, appeared from the dark shade of an old oak and waddled toward him. To Mark, who felt as if he were operating in slow motion, she seemed to move at impossible speed for a woman of her size. The coroner's badge around her neck swung like a black and gold pendulum. Her hands were outstretched to him, palms up, as if she were warding off evil. Mark had known Hannah since high school. She was sometimes gruff, sometimes unpleasant, but she was a hard worker and took no pleasure in giving sad news to her friends. The piteous look in her eyes told him everything he needed to know about the latest victim. But instead of following his instincts and barreling past her at top speed, he stopped. "Where's Cyrus?" he asked. Cyrus Johnson was the county coroner. He usually worked the higher priority cases.